You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Things are changing quickly in the Middle East. Overshadowed by the regime-shattering popular uprisings in Tunisia and Egypt, another very recent and potentially regime-shattering event in the Middle East has gone largely unnoticed. Al Jazeera has released leaked documents that detail the talks between Israeli and Palestinian negotiators during the so-called peace process. The documents, dubbed the Palestine Papers, reveal a deep subservience of the Palestinian Authority to Israeli demands. These papers, along with the popular uprisings in the Middle East, are among the dynamics that Mordechai Breenberg sees as fundamentally shifting the state of affairs on the issue of Palestine. Mordechai is a longtime Palestinian solidarity activist and a member of the collective here on Red Eye. He recently wrote an article for Rabble.ca on this topic, and he joins me in the studio now. Good morning, Mordechai.
Good morning, Manuel.
So, and before we get into the larger dynamics of the uprisings in the Middle East, let's talk for a minute about these Palestine papers. What exactly are they?
They are 1,700 documents, thousands of pages of notes of meetings between the Palestinian Authority and Israeli negotiators in what was called the peace process over a period of a decade, from 1999 to 2009. These documents include emails, they include correspondence, they include minutes of meetings, etc. They include PowerPoint presentations. It's unknown who released these documents to Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera has had these, has examined them, considered their authenticity, and published them and shared them with the Guardian newspaper in England. It's a vast, previously unknown set of documents.
And what do they reveal about the negotiations?
They reveal three main things, I think. One is that no matter how many concessions the Palestinian Authority offered to Israel in these negotiations, Israel was uninterested. They reveal in that regard, I think, that Israel is not at all concerned to achieve a two-state resolution, which has been the mantra for a long time in international politics. What it reveals is that Israel prefers to continue its own plans for the further colonization of territories it conquered in 1967. When it's completed those plans, it will say, okay, these are the tiny bits and pieces which we're prepared to give to the Palestinians. It reveals, secondly, that the Palestinian Authority was unbelievably concessionary in these negotiations, to the extent that it abandoned, for all practical purposes, the right enshrined in international law and United Nations resolutions, the right, for example, of return of Palestinian refugees who number in the millions. The Palestinian Authority, for example, offered to Israel that they would accept a deal where 10,000 people over 10 years who have been ethnically cleansed from Palestine would be able to return. The documents show collaboration between the Palestinian Authority and the Israelis in assassination of Palestinians. So that's the second thing that's shown. The third thing that's shown and documented is that America is acting only as Israel's lawyer. It advises Israel, it concedes to what Israel wants, and it applies pressure only on the Palestinians. So those are the three dynamics which came into the public, much of which was suspected by people. But there is a difference in practical consequence when you see the actual documentation, and in the case of the Palestinian Authority, in its concessions, going much further than anybody even dreamed.
Mm-hmm. And how are these revelations likely to change the political dynamics in terms of the struggle for Palestinian rights?
Well, the peace, so-called peace process is revealed as not a process for peace, but a process for giving Israel the opportunity to simply take more and more territory. So the notion of a peace process loses complete credibility. The Palestinian Authority, by its these revelations, which they first responded to by saying, oh, these are fake documents, these are fake documents. They were desperate and indicated that they knew that their capacity any longer to represent the Palestinians had been shattered by these revelations. So in that sense, the Palestinian people really do face a new situation where the establishment of a different set of leadership and representations who would representatives who would negotiate honestly on behalf of Palestinian rights and for Palestinian justice needs to be constructed. And also the process called a peace process no longer is a charade that anybody can really put any confidence in or proceed to participate in.
Mm-hmm. And if we just shift focus for a minute now and turning sort of to the broader Middle East and the uprisings in Tunisia and Egypt, I mean, if I would have asked you a month or two ago to describe the prevailing power dynamics in the region, and in particular in relation to Egypt, Israel, Palestine, and the United States, what would your answer have been?
Egypt was, since 1979, clearly under American control. Egypt was a solid ally of Israel in the Arab world, representing and protecting it. Egypt was participating actively in the strangulation of the population of Palestinians in Gaza. That was the main dynamic for several decades. And what has happened now is a complete shattering, fragmentation. You can say the walls are crumbling of that so-called stability.
In what ways are you seeing that happening?
Well, the Israeli ambassador, a former Israeli ambassador to Israel, said as these rebellion of the Egyptian people has intensified and shown its sense of hope and optimism and power, that if the only people, he said, in Egypt who support this alliance, which they call the peace treaty, but I would more accurately say this alliance of Egypt and Israel and the United States, are the inner circle of Mubarak's group. And if the next president doesn't come from that group, we face an amazingly serious situation. The Israelis are completely public about the anxiety that they have with the fall of Mubarak and the Mubarak regime and that whole cornerstone of Egypt as their ally within the Arab world.
And what about the United States?
Similarly, the United States is dithering in its effort. On the one hand, it wants to sustain Mubarak. It wants to sustain its control of Egypt. It wants to sustain Israel as its major ally in the Middle East. At the same time, it recognizes that the popular force of rebellion across the Arab world, this whole new second wave of an Arab nationalist revolution that was dominant in the 50s and early 60s and then was contained by American control and power after that, that this they realize that this danger has to be in some way dealt with, but they don't quite know how to deal with it. So from the point of view of an Egyptian who's in the streets in Tahrir Square, who's calling for democracy and a government which is no longer brutal and barbaric and dictatorial, America almost is every step it's behind what the people are doing. It's behind in the sense of a step behind, not in, behind in the sense of support. So it's neither gaining credibility with the Arab masses, nor is it succeeding in orchestrating a transition which still leaves it in control. So American statements, public statements, keep wavering and changing day by day, sort of tailing behind the actions and the strength demonstrated by the Egyptian people.
And how are the protests playing out in the West Bank and Gaza?
I think that is something that still remains to be seen. Yesterday, I read a statement which had just been issued by Palestinian Popular Committees. These are people in villages like the one you earlier in the program interviewed, the village of Boudros, the village of Bilin, etc., who are engaged in mobilizing their own people in direct action against Israeli occupation. They issued a statement saying that they supported the Egyptian people in their struggle, that they saw the, from their own experience, the great necessity to have unity among yourself, not be divided between different political factions, and that they called on the Egyptian people, when they are successful, to end the position of Egypt as a major ally of Israel and to resume its solidarity with the Palestinian people. So I think there's a spreading sense of hope, of political reforming, of alliances and development of new organizational forms which can represent the popular sentiment which is so strong across the Arab world now of independence and democratic rights.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, in terms of, say, solidarity movements here, what do you think, how can people support the efforts in the area for increased democracy and increased freedom?
Well, always our efforts must be against our own government, and our own government is allied with Mubarak. It's not supporting the Arab people. And it says so very openly, which is another measure of it. It says, because we're such close friends and the best ally of Israel in the world, we can't support the Arab people. So the notion that Israel is somehow a democracy becomes farcical because it's against democracy in this whole vast region in which it's situated. So changing the policy of our own government, I think, is a critical focal point.
And how? In what ways?
Well, I think also the notion of what are the basic elements of the situation in Palestine, to return to that focus. For a long time, the solidarity movement has sort of paralleled this phony peace process, and that the objective is two states with two separate governments. What we're seeing in the solidarity movement is a shifting understanding that basically Israel is an old story. It's a story of the 19th century continued too long into the 20th century, the story of colonization, the story of ethnic cleansing, the story of racial privilege. And I think the solidarity movements are increasingly seeing those are the basic things. And that really natural resolution of these, both for justice and for peace, is people will live together who are in that area. They must live together, however, not as privileged and unprivileged, but as equal citizens in the same society, a la the situation of Canada and many other countries.
Thanks very much for talking to me today.
My pleasure.
I've been speaking with Mordechai Breenberg. Mordechai is a longtime Palestinian solidarity activist and a member of the collective here on Red Eye. He recently wrote an article titled Falling Arab Dictatorships and Israeli Government Panic. You can find the article on rabble.ca.